Today you're studying the bicycle illustration, or we might call it the vehicle of victory. As I mentioned on page 46 in your study book, a number of problems are caused because we in the Christian Cycle Club lack a basic understanding of the emotional facts of what it means to stay on the vehicle of victory as we follow after God. If we come to a standstill on a bicycle, we fall off. If we stop pedaling when we start up a hill, we're sure to find ourselves back at the bottom shortly. And so the godly men and women who are eager to pick up the velocity of their growth need to be able to pedal past these problems that make others fall off. Let's consider some of the psychological problems which cause the fall by going through this list with which you match the scripture references on page 46. First of all, what do we mean by a wrong mindset? This is a pessimistic outlook and always looking on the negative side. It's giving undue emphasis to material things or an inclination to pleasure instead of obedience and responding on the basis of the immediate and not the ultimate. All of these can create wrong attitudes of mind. Proverbs 15:15 promotes the glad heart, not the negative one, saying in truth that he who has gladness has a continual feast regardless of circumstances. The Apostle Paul has a worthwhile word for us on thinking about good things. You can read Paul's list in Philippians 4:8. And you know, hours of wrong mental intake by inhaling useless garbage from soap operas or certain magazines or dirty books, daydreaming, all these things then require hours of positive mental intake from the scriptures for the purifying of our thoughts. Proverbs 4:23 tells us to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Well, how do you change the cycle of a wrong mindset and get on with a proper one? Well, you confess it as sin. You determine to do something about it. You ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, and you take positive action to increase the intake of the Word of God. The next word is fear. What are we prone to be afraid of? Things like the unknown, the uncertain, the future, failure, just to name a few. What is the source of fear? Well, it's not God, is it? 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In the Living Bible, it is said this way, for the Holy Spirit, God's gift, does not want you to be afraid of people, but to be wise and strong and to love them and enjoy being with them. But you say, well, I am afraid. The antidote for fear is in 1 John 4:18. In the Living Bible, it starts out this way, we need have no fear of someone who loves us perfectly. His perfect love for us eliminates all dread. There was a girl who lived in a large city apartment complex, and she was afraid of the activities of the non-Christians around her in the apartment. But out of love, which you remember is the antidote for fear, she just put on her suntan lotion, marched down to the pool, and there she put in time, gave a listening ear, and God's kindness into those activities. And today, there's a new creature in Christ walking around that pool, because of that one person who was determined to show to an unbeliever God's love rather than her fear. Well, let's look at the next word, which is being production-oriented. Now, what do you think that means? We can become more interested in measurable results than in operating by spiritual principles. The next word is worldliness. Would a list of do's and don'ts qualify worldliness for us? That's what we often think of, isn't it? But that's not true. Worldliness is an attitude of heart. The next one is guilt. How can we get rid of guilt? By realizing that God not only forgives, but forgets each sin we confess. Micah 7:18-19 in the Living Bible are thrilling verses. Listen to what it says. Where is another God like you who pardons the sins of the survivors among his people? You cannot stay angry with your people, for you love to be merciful. Once again, you will have compassion on us. You will tread our sins beneath your feet. You will throw them into the depths of the ocean. I love what someone has said regarding God throwing our sins into the depths of the ocean. Someone said, God throws our sins into the deepest sea, and then post a sign there which says, no fishing here. Next on the list is disappoint with God. Now, what do you think might cause us to have disappointment with God? I think it'd be feeling that God has failed to answer a prayer as we wanted it answered, or feeling that he has dealt us a low blow because of the way he made us, because of the environment he has allowed us to be brought up in, or because of the parents he's given us. Now, these are all things which we cannot change, and these are things which might cause one to have discontentment with God. Why do you think we're often disappointed with others? Usually we expect more from them than they can or will give us. And we get our eyes off of God and onto people, and we expect from them what only God can give to us or do for us. And then, ladies, why do you think you become disappointed with yourself? Well, it could be that we expect more of ourselves than God does. Sometimes this is the case. Generally, I think it's because we don't accept ourselves the way we are. We don't like the way we're made, that is, our appearance, or we aren't happy with the abilities and the skills that we do have, but rather we concentrate on the abilities and skills that we don't have, things we can't do. Or we're not happy with the parents we have, nor the environment we live in or we have had to live in. And we blame all of these things for our unhappiness, and behind it all, we blame God for it. So really, our disappointment with ourselves and others goes back to our disappointment with God. When we are unhappy about our appearance or our skills or our parents, then we set up a wall of bitterness and resentment between God and us and between other people and ourselves. How can we change this? Well, ask your teacher to share the four simple steps with you. Next on your list is playing to the wrong audience. What do you think this means? John 5:44 indicates that it is getting our self-image feedback from men instead of God. You know, if we look to another person for our feedback, what we're saying in essence is, am I worthwhile? And that person's response to me may come across negatively because he or she has had a bad day or doesn't feel well or so on. Well, when I play to the right audience, which is Jesus Christ, you know, I always get back the same positive response. Jesus Christ always says, yes, oh yes, you are so worthwhile to me. You are so precious to me and so loved by me that I gave my life for you, so that we could live together eternally. Oh, yes, you're so precious. You're so worthwhile to me. We never, ever get a negative feedback from him. And last on the list, what did you learn about bitterness and rebellion? Well, unfortunately, you can't keep bitterness to yourself. It's like an infectious disease. It affects others. It affects what you do and what you think, and it affects those around you. Well, how can we get rid of bitterness and rebellion? You know, often bitterness and rebellion are tied in with anger toward God and a lack of self-acceptance. And so those same four steps that your teacher may show you in changing the disappointment with yourself applies here. Namely, confess it as sin. State specifically whatever it is you're bitter about. Ask God's forgiveness. And then thirdly, thank him for the very cause of your bitterness and rebellion. And that's a hard one, isn't it, ladies? Thank him for the cause of your bitterness and rebellion. Remember that in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he tells us to give thanks in everything. Fourthly, determine to cooperate with him in developing the inner qualities you need to overcome these negative feelings. And ladies, these problems that would push us off the track can disappear when we make our way through God's word, moving with our renewed minds away from these fateful, precarious positions where we could fall off in the Christian life. I trust what you've learned from this lesson will enable you to stay on the vehicle of victory as you follow after God.